All right, well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read a familiar passage of Scripture with you as we close out this year, thank God. And as we prepare ourselves going into the next year, you know, I've said many times, when we come to this point in our calendar year, I know that God doesn't run by our calendar. God has His own timetable, and that's the timetable that matters. Amen. But I do believe that God does recognize that we have starting points, stopping points, where we are making changes in our lives. And so I do believe that God does recognize the fact that we are going into another year, going into another place of our lives. And so as we prepare today, I ask that you hear what God says, be encouraged in Jesus' name. So let me pray. Father, thank you for your presence, for your word, for your promises. Thank you for the word of God that is true, that never fails. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us always, even to the end of the age. And now, Lord, as we approach your word this morning, we ask that you would open up our understanding and our comprehension to hear what you say to us. And may we be encouraged by it and walk in it by faith. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his own hand? That's what we're going to read about here. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? I want to share a message with you I've entitled, Don't Stop Believing. That's right. Some of you are singing it in your head right now. Don't stop believing. 2020 is almost over, right? We think. This has literally been the longest year on record. I know it's 365 days, but I think it's been, for some reason, longer than that. How many of you felt like you've been stuck in April and May for quite some time, till the snow hit, right? I feel sorry for future kids in school who's got to study history, because 2020 is going to have a new unit like every other day. You know what I'm saying? Every other day, they're going to be studying something different that happened. Some of you've got cats that are wondering why their servants won't get out of their house. You know, we've had to learn how to Zoom. Some of us have become teachers and realized that we're not very good at it. And that suddenly we now hate iPads. Some of us have stockpiled so much toilet paper that we forgot to actually buy food. Right? This was an election year like no other, and it's still not over. Somewhere we're still voting. Our conspiracy theory friends have not had a day off in quite some time. And some of you need to check on them because they're not okay. Some of them have bought all the aluminum foil. We've made 10 hats and we're ready to go. Racial tensions are at an all-time high. We had major cities that were set on fire. Chaz Chop was set up in the middle of Seattle as its own autonomous zone. Marmette's been its own autonomous zone for quite some time. Murder hornets showed up, and we just shrugged them off like they were missing pets that had just came home. We had no March Madness. Basketball was played in a bubble. Baseball was cut short, and fans were replaced by cutout characters. Britain left the EU. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle moved to Canada, and then they moved to Los Angeles. Massive wildfires in Australia and California, and the tiger hunter showed up. And this one, we think it's over, 2020 says, but wait, there's more. 2020 cannot end soon enough. And I'll admit, it's been a whirlwind of a year, a trying year to say the least, especially when you add in your own personal stories, your own battles that you and your family has faced, because we've all had to face a pandemic and the chaos that is around us in a different way. It has affected our families in different ways. And so when you add to all of this, we could say that 2020 has been a storm. Can anybody agree with me? I'm not saying that there hasn't been blessings. I'm not saying that there hasn't been good days. There are introverts out there that are saying this has been the best year of my life. But for the most part, 2020 has been a storm. But I want you to know something this morning. The good thing about storms, Jesus has been in them and he knows how to handle them. You know, the story in Mark is really familiar, and we'll just look at the highlights really quickly. Most of you know the story about this. Jesus tells the disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. This was the will of God. This was the purpose of God. What Jesus had spoken was going to happen. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. A storm arises. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I figure that the storm was supernatural in origin. I believe that the enemy was trying to stop the purpose of God. The enemy was trying to stop the work of God. Why? Because in Mark chapter 5, there's a man in a cave. The demoniac of Gadara. He's completely gone nuts. He's completely wild. He is filled with demons. And the city, the town didn't know what to do with him, so they just chained him to a cave. And he would break the chains off. So the Bible says he literally lived in a graveyard. So because there was one man on the other side of the lake, man, I love that reality. One guy, a hopeless outcast that nobody thought could ever amount to anything. Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. Because there's one guy that needs my healing, that needs my grace, that needs my goodness. And so the enemy tried to stop that. But the storm comes. And it's so bad that you have fishermen that I'm sure who had been through storms in their life on a sea felt like it was a death sentence. That the storm was so bad that they were about to die. And where was Jesus? Asleep. How many of you have ever felt that way? Have you felt that way during 2020? Jesus, where are you? Are you asleep? Where are you? Do you see me? Have you ever felt that way? Jesus, where are you? Why are you asleep? Jesus gets up. He speaks to the winds. He speaks to the waves. Peace be still. The storm stops. The disciples are in absolute awe. But here's what's an amazing story. The storm brings a revelation. It brings a revelation to the disciples of who they are. But more importantly, it brings a revelation to them of who he is. Yeah. And it's a revelation that they would not have received any other way. And I want you to remember that. I want you to remember, we don't always understand the storm, but we can get a revelation of who we are, and we can get a revelation of who he is. Because at the end of the storm, all the disciples could say is they could look at this each other and say, what kind of guy is this? That even the wind and the storms obey him. And so we may not always understand why we are going through what we are going through, but please understand that the God who controls heaven and earth, the God who has made the earth a footstool, who measures the universe with a span, sees the big picture. And he is not asleep. He is always for us and not against us. So in the middle of the storm of 2020, the questions we have to ask ourselves, the question that Jesus still asks of our hearts, why are you overcome with fear? And do you still have no faith? These are the questions that Jesus asks the disciples. Notice that Jesus doesn't even necessarily show them any concern. Oh, poor disciples. I'm so sorry you've had to go through a storm. Let's hug it out. But I can't because it's a pandemic. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, God, Jesus is our shepherd. He cares about us. But Jesus doesn't go into a long discourse about how he loves them and how he wants to comfort them and how he wants to hug them and how he knows, oh, how the world is so unfair. I can't believe you had to go through this. He just looked at them and said, why are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith? We may be going into 2021 limping, but how do we go into this new year? How do we go into this new year? Let's get one thing straight. 2020 was no ordinary year, and it brought extraordinary problems. But let's get out of our minds that life is ever supposed to be easy. Have you ever asked yourself, why does everything have to be so hard? Man, I say that a lot. I really do. I'm a whiner. You know, and you get in the, when you get in the middle of something, why does everything have to be so hard? Why can I not open a box of Cheerios without at least 20 of them flying out of the top of the bag? Anybody else have that problem? I mean, I'm like, come on now, you got it. You got it. Why does everything have to be so hard? 2021 may be the year that we've all been waiting on. It may be the year that we've all been looking forward to. Or maybe, I won't say it, maybe it'll just be the year we've been looking forward to. But as Christians, we understand that our whole life is a war. We are in a spiritual battle, folks, and the enemy does not play fair. He doesn't care who you are or how much money you have or what your status is or how many people like you. And you need to understand that the enemy does not stop attacking just because you ask him nicely. As Christians, we understand that the world is fallen and broken and that sometimes life isn't fair. We understand even scientifically, the universe is wearing out. Things are moving from order into chaos, which the Bible actually points this out too. Science just took a little bit to catch up to us. But the second law of thermodynamics tells us that everything is going from order to chaos. The universe is literally wearing out. As Christians, we know that this world is full of pain and that temptations are constantly warring against our souls. We also understand that we are kingdom people. And this world is not our home. That for a matter of fact, we are always going to feel just a bit out of place. And that the Bible promises us. The Bible promises us. Are you ready for this promise? Are you ready? They that live righteous lives shall suffer persecution. That's not the one you wanted to hear, was it? They that live righteously are going to suffer persecutions. Do you know that Peter asked the Christians in his writing why they were so surprised about the fiery trials that had come upon them as if it was some kind of strange thing that was happening to them? James said that you should count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Jesus told his disciples, if the world hated me, they're going to hate my followers. They're going to hate anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ. You know what that means? I believe it's almost as though the Bible has been saying, you should have already been prepared for 2020. And so some of us are saying, just keep going. Just keep going. You're going to make it. But some of us look like Squidward here. The year's almost over. Just finish strong. And that's me finishing strong. You're making it. You may not look very good. But you're making it. You're in this thing, folks. Because we have to recognize. We have to understand that the enemy's not going to make it easy on us. The flesh is not going to make it easy on us. The world is not going to make it easy on us. We all know this even in the business world. Things don't just come to us. We got to work hard. If you want to make things happen, you got to work hard. If you want your marriage to work, you got to work hard. We have to get out of our mind that we're all supposed to float to heaven on flowery beds, you know, singing kumbaya, and nothing's ever going to happen to us. We have to recognize we live in a broken down, messed up world, and we should be prepared for what the enemy has to throw at us. 2020 should have been a wake-up call for us. Because, I don't say this to make anybody feel guilty or shame because we live in the United States of America. But some of us, if we were transplanted from the United States and put in China or Indonesia or Sudan, we'd be saying, okay, so it wasn't that bad. You know what I'm saying? We take our problems and always magnify them instead of magnifying the God that we serve. So how do we go into 2021? The same way we should go into every year, every month, and every day of our lives. We walk by faith. Why are we so overcome with fear? Jesus asked us. Do we still have no faith? Now, I'm not saying this in light of, you know, we're doing all the safety protocols that we need. Some of us, you know, probably do need to stay home, probably do need to make sure that we keep our distance, all of those kind of things. I'm not against doing wise and making wise decisions. We have to make wise decisions in the world that we live in. We don't go jump off a cliff just because angels are going to pick us up and carry us away, according to the Bible, right? So we have to make decisions sometimes that are a little uncomfortable. But what happens is that the enemy takes what happens around us to surround us with fear and keep us from moving forward in our faith. Yes. Amen. Now, I want to remind you of something, and I've said this many times before, but it's a reminder that we all need to have. The devil wants your faith. He wants your faith. Every attack, every temptation is not mainly just to harass you or to hurt you physically or to hurt you emotionally. Those are just tangential things that the enemy is doing. Sure, if he can make you feel bad physically or emotionally or psychologically, if he can hit your finances or your marriage or your children, the enemy is going to attack from all kinds of different ways. I understand that. But what he's after is not your marriage. He's not after your physical body. He's not even after your psychological state. He's after your faith. He wants to shake your faith. Even Jesus told Peter, "Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you like wheat." And what does Jesus say to him? He doesn't say, "I prayed that you not have to go through it." He didn't say, "I rebuked the devil for you, Peter." That's not what he said. He said, "I prayed that your faith not fail." Amen. Some of us are screaming at the devil when the Lord is asking us to just walk by faith. Some of us are yelling at our circumstances, staying up all night worrying about them, and God is saying, "I just want you to trust me. I just want you to trust me." Why? Because this is the victory, the Bible says. This is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes 2020. This is the victory that overcomes any storm of our lives, even our faith. Our faith. 2020 has tried our faith. But let's just be honest, this is not the first battle we've been through. These are not the first circumstances that we have faced in our lives. Can you testify about that? Some of you have maybe even had worse years than 2020. I don't know how that happened, but some of you's had some bad years, bad months. You've been through some stuff, but here you still are. Still praying, still worshiping, still pursuing God, still walking by faith. How are you going to get through 2020? How are you going to get into 2021? You're going to walk by faith. Amen. The problem is that 2020 has produced skeptics. 2020 has produced some backsliders. But 2020 has also seen some people pursue God with everything in them because they realize that they need God more than they've ever before. Amen. 2020 has shown a lot of us what we're made of. And it's bringing to us a greater revelation of who God is. Unfortunately, there are some that are going into 2021 that in their heart they've slipped away from God. They've allowed the quarantines, the isolations, the things that are going on around them to strangle their faith. And so they're going backwards instead of forward. But if we're going to go forward in 2021, we have to do it by faith. We have to do it by faith. Because if we do it by feeling, we're always going to be stuck, aren't we? If we're going by how we feel about 2020, we're always going to go into it with that attitude that it's only going to get worse. So how do we start the new year? Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. And it doesn't matter if you're a small town girl living in a lonely world or just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. We're going to keep believing. Why? Because Jesus says that all things are possible. All things are possible to whom? To God? Sure. But to him that will believe. Do you hear what I'm saying? All things are possible to him that will believe. Jesus is still the miracle worker. Jesus still calms storms. God still answers prayer. The Holy Spirit still empowers his church. We still serve a risen Savior that is alive on the inside of our hearts. We still serve a God who's got our lives in his hands, and his timetable will not be stopped. And it's not just personal things that we're believing God for. Some of you, maybe you've been standing by faith, believing for something in your life, something personal in your life that you've been believing God for. And we always encourage you, you don't stop believing, you don't give up, you don't quit. But it's not just personal things that we're believing God for. It's an encouragement to stay in the faith. Stay in belief. Fight off the lies of the enemy that would have us question the character of God or walk away from our faith. As I said, unfortunately, this year has caused a lot of discouragement among Christians. And in a lot of cases, it's produced skepticism and doubt in our hearts. And so I'm asking you, don't stop. Don't give up on God. Don't quit. Stand firm on the truth of God's word. No matter what skepticism says to us, no matter what the doubts of the world may try to plant in us. Grounding ourselves in sound doctrine, so that we're not tossed about by every doctrine and new hip philosophy. Because make no mistake about it, folks. The gospel message stays the same, no matter how we present it. The gospel message stays the same. Amen. And so we have to recognize there's always going to be new ideas that come down the pike. There's always going to be new doctrines that look good and flashy and pretty. But we've got to ground ourselves in true doctrine. We have to ground ourselves in the truth of God's word. It's the only way we're going to keep believing. It's the only way we're going to keep moving forward. It's the only way that we are going to make it through 2021 in the victory that God has for our lives. Now, why? Why do we keep on believing? We know that the storms of life are real, but we also know that God is real. We know that the storms that we face are going to be real. We know that the battles are going to be there, but we also know that faith is real. That when we put our trust in God, know this, no matter what is happening around you, as long as we stay in faith, the enemy cannot touch us on the inside. Because why? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So no matter what the circumstances are around us, it's those who press on by faith. Corrie Ten Boom, who's one of my favorite characters outside of the Bible, she lived through the Holocaust. Her family killed by Hitler during the Holocaust. Corrie Ten Boom made this statement: no matter how deep the darkness, he is deeper still. So no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, God is greater. God is deeper. God is more powerful. God is good. Amen. And always will be. So I know that there's been a pull in your heart to maybe quit, a pull in your heart to maybe go the way of the world, to lose your desire. You know, we started this year talking about the pursuit. And maybe we need to ask ourselves, what did we pursue this year? What did we really pursue this year? And if we started out pursuing God, what happened? What happened? Don't stop believing. Two things really quickly. Don't stop believing. Why? Because number one, it matters. Amen. What we believe matters. And I've said this many times before. What we believe to be true many times is more important than what is actually true. Because what we believe to be true is going to affect our behavior. Which means if we believe wrongly, we're going to act wrongly, right? So what we believe determines our behavior. It determines how we act. But not only that, it determines how we see ourselves. It determines how we see others. And of course, it determines how we see God. What we believe is going to determine how we see other people. I think I've mentioned this before, but some of you, how many of you have ever had a friend that didn't like somebody, and you never met this person in your life, but because your friend didn't like him, Neither did you. Every time you saw him, you gave him the stink eye. I don't like that guy. Why? Because you believed what your friend had told you about them. Then you get to know the person and you're like, my friend's crazy. My friend just don't like anybody. Y'all got any friends that don't like anybody? How many of you in here don't like anybody? Wait a minute. Keep your hand down, Ryan. Keep your hand down. Why? Because what you believed about them affected how you responded to them, how you act towards them, how you behave towards them. What we believe about God has put us in a position of how we respond to Him. In some cases, we have created a God that does not exist. David said, deliver me from presumptuous sins. Deliver me from that attitude of me presuming upon God something that I should not. It matters what you believe. Because what you believe gets you where you're going. How many of you know that we spend a lot of time worrying and fighting over things that really don't matter? We spend a lot of times fighting over things and worrying about stuff that really doesn't matter. Some of us are mad about who got elected dog catcher. We will figure out ways to fight about anything. We make, as my mother always said, mountains out of molehills. But our pursuit of God, which is a product of grace and a product of faith, does matter. It matters. The pursuit of God matters. And it's not just our pursuit, but it's where it's taking us. Where it's taking us. Gosh, how many times have we ended up in a place that we didn't want to be, and we turn around and we blame it on God? God, why did you let me get here? And God's like, because that's the way you've been going. Am I right? We all know that GPS doesn't always work. We all know that GPS can leave you out in the middle of nowhere. You ever been looking at a GPS and just the road just disappears? You're just driving in darkness. The road doesn't even exist. Where am I going? But no matter what direction you're going on in, as Yogi Berra said, whenever you get there, you're there. You're wherever you are because that's how, because you're there. And lots of times we blame God for where we end up when all we need to do is turn around and look at what we've been pursuing. What have we been pursuing? What has our faith been in? What has our trust been in? Because what you believe matters. Don't stop believing because it matters. Number two, don't stop believing because it's worth it. Belief always brings blessing. Belief always brings revelation. For a matter of fact, throughout Scripture, we see that revelation always comes after belief. Whereas, and then revelation continues to build faith. That faith is based upon a certain level of knowledge that we have about God. I did a study on Wednesday nights about a few of the interviews that Jesus did in the Gospel of John. There's quite a few, but we talked about three of them just in the first four chapters of the Gospel of John. First six chapters of the Gospel of John. We talked about the interviews that Jesus had with these people. And Jesus' whole point in talking with people and interacting with people was to bring them to a place of belief. To bring them to a place where they could reach out by faith. Because it's not enough to know something in our heads. We've got to know it in our hearts. Belief always brings blessings on our lives. And a lack of faith in our hearts brings us to a place of defeat. It brings us to a place of discouragement. What we receive from God and what we know about God is always grounded in faith. And sometimes what we believe is going to be tested. Man, it's good to get excited about a revelation that you receive. You ever been reading the Bible and something just jumps out at you and you're like, ah, that's it. Or you ever been reading a book or listening to a sermon And it hits you and it's like, man, that's for me. That's what I needed to hear. And you're excited about it and you thank God for it. Well, let me warn you. As soon as you go out into the world, it's going to be tested. The enemy's going to find out whether you believe it or not. It's not enough to shout about it. It's not enough to say praise God about it. We have to live it. We have to live the revelation. We have to be the revelation. And it will be tested. Sometimes what we believe causes us to make sacrifices. Jesus said, if you believe me and you want to follow me, then you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and come after me. You've got to follow me with everything that's in you. Jesus said, if you find your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, then you'll actually find it. They came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are outside. Jesus said, you want to know who my mother and my brothers are? They that do the will of my Father that's in heaven. Jesus ran people off. I mean, for a guy that was trying to build a religion, he didn't always do it the way we think we should. He preached sermons that made people mad, then told his only 12 disciples, if you want to go, you can go too. Because I'm here for one purpose, and that's to fulfill the will of God. Sometimes believing takes sacrifices. Sometimes believing causes you to lose friends. Because what you believe has changed the way you act. And the way you act doesn't fit in with how they act. Or at least it shouldn't. Our believing has made us different. Our believing has put us on a different road, a different path. And because of that, many times we may have lost some close friends. We may have upset some neighbors. We may have had to recognize that I can't keep going where you're going because my belief won't allow me to. But a firm faith in the one who calms storms gets us to the other side of the lake. He always gets us to his purpose. He always gets us to his will. No matter how big the storm is, no matter how big the battle is, no matter how scary it may get, no matter how strong the wind may be, no matter how high the waves may be, no matter how much 2020 stinks, the one who calms the storm is still in your boat. He's still in your boat. And ultimately, what we believe determines our destiny. Obviously, the pursuit is taking us someplace. It takes us to blessings here on this earth. But we know that the ultimate plan is where all things are made new. And we, as his people, celebrate in his presence in a place called heaven. And I can promise you this much, folks. Those who have gone on before us in faith, they'll tell you it was worth it all. It was worth every battle. It was worth every fight. It was worth every sacrifice I had to make. It was worth every stand of faith. It was worth every night of prayer. It was worth every praise, every worship. It was worth every surrender that I made. Your believing determines your destiny. What you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus is the most important thing about you. And so we go into 2020 determined to not stop believing. This upcoming year really is just another year on the calendar. We're just going to flip a page. Sundays are still going to be Sundays. Mondays are still going to stink. We're still going to live for the weekend. It's just another year on the calendar. But this year seems like a year of hope for most of us. It has to be, right? 2021 has to be. There has to be a year of hope. That surely it's going to get a little bit better. Just a little. Some of you got a white Christmas. There you go. Congratulations. Got a little bit better. There's a lot of people not in church today because we got a white Christmas, but that's okay. Got my white Christmas. It knocked my snowman over. How many of y'all saw my snowman? He had too much eggnog. Fell over. That wasn't a real snowman. That was an inflatable wannabe snowman. Maybe we even look at this new year as the promised land that's just in sight. Man, 2020 is Egypt. 2020 is the wilderness. 2021 is the land of promise. A land flowing with milk and honey. But you know what? Faith faces every year and every day the same way. Jesus is our rest. Jesus is our promised land. We're not just waiting for a feeling. We're not just waiting for it to get better. We were rescued. We are saved. We are redeemed. Though the Bible says, though the mountains crumble into the sea, He's still my refuge. He's still my rock. He is my rest. So I will not count it a strange thing that my faith will be tested. It's all part of the journey. It's all part of the journey. And maybe Christians in the United States need a little shaking, need a little pinprick of our faith. Maybe we need to recognize that we have brothers and sisters in this world, all around this world, that are facing persecution. Thousands of Nigerian Christians were martyred in 2020 by Boko Haram. Thousands of Nigerian Christians. It's all part of the journey that our faith would be tested. And I want my faith to go deeper than just rejoicing during good times. I want my faith to go deeper than just thanking God because I had a good year or a good month or a good day or a good week. I want my faith. I want to keep believing. Amen. No matter what the times are. No matter what it is I'm facing. No matter what it is that I'm going through. So bring on 2021. 2020, good riddance. And if we could get our decades right, too, 2020 is the end of a decade. It wasn't the beginning. 2021 is the beginning of a new decade. So it's, all kinds of great things are happening. It's a new decade. We're not just saying bye to 2020. We're saying bye to the whole decade. So bring it on. Why? Because we've decided we're not going to stop believing. We're not going to give up on our faith. We're not going to quit praying. We're not going to quit pursuing. We're not going to quit going after God. Things may be hard. Things may be tough. I may have to go through some storms. But the storm calmer is in my boat. So I encourage you today, don't let your faith waver. Don't let your faith stop. Don't let your faith give up. Keep believing in Jesus' name. Father, we are grateful today for the truth of your word, for the promises of your word. We are thankful, O Lord, that you are real, that your word is real. But Lord, you don't paint a picture that everything is rosy, that you have shown us and warned us that life sometimes is going to be hard, that battles are going to come, that this world is not always fair. But you have shown us that what matters is that we stay in the faith, that our heart remains stable and grounded in your word, grounded in the faithful character of who you are, grounded in knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit is still available to your church. Lord, help us to keep believing. And Lord, I know that 2020, we've made some jokes about the year. We've talked about the hardships of this year. But Father, I know that this year brought a lot of loss, a lot of hurt, a lot of separation, isolation. It's brought fear and uncertainty. And we can say that it hasn't affected us, but we know that lack of fellowship has not only affected us psychologically, it's affected us spiritually. And I pray, God, for every heart that is heavy here this morning, every heart that is fighting skepticism, doubt, uncertainty, fear, worry. I'm asking you, God, who's in our boat, calmer of all storms, would you speak to every storm-tossed heart? Would you speak to every storm-tossed mind? And would you bring your peace? Would you bring your grace? And would you light a fire in our hearts to keep believing, to have faith, to not live in fear, because we know that you're getting us to the other side. You are getting us to the other side. And when we get there, we're going to see you heal. We're going to see you restore. We're going to see you do miracles. It never ends. Your goodness never ends. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name.